Okay, so we've been discussing what is the first word in the Mishnah mean, Orla Arba Azar, Baikunas HaChametz, that the light of the 14th is supposed to check for the Chametz. When is the light of the 14th? Rav Huna's opinion was Nagi, that it refers to the daytime. Rav Yehuda's opinion was that it refers to the nighttime. So the Gemara is bringing proofs back and forth. What does the word R mean? Does it refer to the day, to the night? We discuss it in the context of a Baba Machteris, of the intruder into the house. Does it mean the day or the night? The Gemara concluded it doesn't mean the day or the night. It refers to the fact that the facts of the case have been clarified versus if they're murky. And that's the Gemara uses, the Pasuk uses the word day and night as kind of a metaphor. But then, and the Gemara brings proofs back and forth. Some of them we'll touch on. We don't have to read them all inside. But one of them that I wanted to bring to your attention in particular was the one that's mentioned over here, right in the middle of the Yomid of Beis Mabez. Meizvei. The Gemara asks, May Emasai Arba Asar Asar Basias Malacha. From when on the 14th are you prohibited from engaging in work, in labor? On the Erev Pesach, it was kind of a yontif with regards to certain halachas. We're going to have to get into it this year at some point. But Erev Pesach was considered to be somewhat of a yontif. In fact, Erev Pesach is doicha velos, just like other yomim tovim. Erev Pesach le'achar chatzos. Erev Pesach is a kind of a yontif. It was the yontif of the day of the bringing of the Karban Pesach. And therefore, in a certain sense, it has the status of its own independent yontif, of course, related to Pesach, but somewhat has its own status as well. So Erev Pesach is a yontif, and there was a minig not to engage in work on Erev Pesach. Rashi claims we're referring to that minig. Tosfos claims that we're actually talking about, according to some of the Amoraim, not engaging on work in Erev Pesach was actually not just a minig, it was actually a real halacha. If you look at Tosfos, Rashi says we're talking about the minog that some had, as one of the prakim later on in Masechtas Pesachim is makom shenahagu, in the place where they had a minog not to do work on Erev Pesach. We don't have such a minog, or maybe we do have a minog. We'll have to get into that as well. But that seems to be totally b'min hagim. Tosfos claims there were actually some amoraim who thought this was a matter of halacha, not just a matter of a minog. But either way, the statement begins, me'emasai arba asa asa basias malacha. From at one point is the 14th prohibited in Malacha mitam minig? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Ibn Mishas Ha'or, he says from the time of the R, we'll have to see what that means. Rabbi Yehuda, Ibn Mishas Ha'neisacham. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, from the time of the rising of the sun in the morning. Amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chi heichem atzinu yoyim shemiktsasa asabasiyas malacha, miktsasa mutbasiyas malacha. How can you split the day in half and say at night it's permitted in Malacha, and in the morning it's prohibited after the rising of the sun? Where do we ever find the day that Chazal split it in half, that the halacha is one thing with regards to part of the day and another thing with regards to the other part of the day? Miksasa mutabasiyas malacha. So amalei, who asked me yachiyach? Look at Erev Pesach. She miksasa mutabachilas chametz. She miksasa asabachilas chametz. You're allowed to eat chametz in the morning. You're not allowed to eat chametz in the afternoon. Don't you see that the day is already split? So if the day is split vis-a-vis chametz, why can't it be split vis-a-vis malacha as well? The minig of not engaging in malacha on Erev Pesach. Okay. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, let's just take a step back. From the fact that Rav Yehuda says, Mishas HaNeitzachama, he says it's prohibited in Malacha from the time of Neitzachama. What does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov believe when he says, Mishas HaOr? Doesn't he mean from the night? Amar or Dekam Elazar ben Yaakov, or Kahu, don't you see from here that the word R means night? So Gemara says, no, Loi, my R, Amar HaShachar. What he means is in the morning, but it's referring to Amar HaShachar, when that's when the light of the sun begins to peak above the horizon. But it's not exactly, you know, the rising of the sun. It's a little bit before that, 72 minutes before that. So he says, that's when the Iser of Asiyas Malacha begins. But not at night. It doesn't begin at night. So Yehaki, 1 minute. If that's the case, the whole Machleik is about when does the Iser of Asiyas Malacha and Erev Pesach begin is. Not does it begin at night or does it begin in the morning. The Machleik is, does it begin at Amud HaShachar, when the first light of the, you know, the dawn cracks above the horizon? Or does it refer to the rising of the ball of the sun? That's HaNeitzachama. Ihaki deka amalei, 1 minute, then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's argument to Rabbi Yehuda makes no sense. Because what did he say to him? Heikan matzinu yarim shemiksasa mutabasiyas malacha miksasa asabasiyas malacha. When did we ever find the day that part of the day is mutabasiyas malacha and part of the day is asar? Nema ihu anafshe. Let him turn around and say the same question to himself. He believes that at night it's mutabasiyas malacha, it's only asabasiyas malacha during the day. So he also splits the day. Why is he calling out Rabbi Yehuda, who splits the day between before HaNeitzachama and after HaNeitzachama? He also splits it between the night and after Amud HaShachar. So, Ika Lele, the Kashari Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Right, there's also a night where Belazar and Yaakov himself splits the day. No, Hachikama, this is what the Gemara meant, this is what he meant to say. Bish lama lididi, ashkachna de kapagi rabbanan ben yamama lalela. The day really begins, l'kuli yalma, the day begins at Amar HaShachar. All of the mitzvahs of the day can be performed, even though we don't daven before l'chadchil, before Netzachama, right? Vasikin is at the crack of dawn, right? When the ball of the sun hits the horizon. You're really not supposed to daven before Amar HaShachar. If you get caught, you can daven before, you're not supposed to daven before Netzachama. If you get caught, you can sometimes daven before Netzachama. I think Netzachama now is going to get later and later. So if you can b'di'evid, you can daven before Netzachama. Many people have to run to work daven before Netzachama, after Amud Alois HaShachar. But you cannot even daven b'di'evid before Alois HaShachar. It's still night. After Alois HaShachar, everyone agrees it's during the day, but the ideal time is to daven is after Netzachama. Vasikin is to daven at the first moment of Netzachama. But either way, there's a difference between the day and the night. That we can understand. Where do we see a difference between the day and the night? Because we find with regards to a tiny sibor. From when can a person eat on a tiny sibor all night until Amud HaShachar? Then you can no longer eat. So don't you see, with regards to day and night, we find splits all the time. He says it's actually a little bit before Amud HaShachar, already from when the first chicken starts to crow. But either way, we paskin, it's from Amud HaShachar, that is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's the beginning of the day. So he says, fine, I find the difference between night and day. Just like by Tanya Sibur, the difference between night and day, so to have here, Erev Pesach. There's a difference between the night and the day. That we can understand. According to you, where do we ever find that the Rabbanan split a day itself in half and said, well, after an Etzachama is also Basiyas Malacha, before an Etzachama is Mutar Basiyas Malacha, it's already day after Alois HaShachar, even though it's still before the sun has risen, it's already day. How can you split the day itself in half? Not the day and the night. That we know. We see from a tiny sibor. The Shaila is, how can you split the day itself in half and say part of it is also Basiyas Malacha, not the other part? So Amalei, that's what Rav Yehuda responded to him. Who asked me Yechiach? Look at Erev Pesach with regards to Chametz. Shemiksasa Mutar Bachilas Chametz, or Miksasa Oz Bachilas Chametz. Erev Pesach itself, we find that Chazal split the day itself. The morning is Mutar Bachilas Chametz, the afternoon is Oz Bachilas Chametz. So Shapir Kamalei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda's teretz is so strong. What was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov thinking? No, Hachi Kamalei, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar meant to say to him, Aminu Echa Ana Melacha Derabanan. I'm talking to you about an Iser Melacha Midderabanan. You're responding to me about Chametz Deiraisa. Chametz Deiraisa is based on Psukim. So if the Torah splits the day in half, the Torah splits the day in half. But where did Chazal split a day in half? Automatically, Chametz Deiraisa? That Hakha Aser Rachmanah, that Hakha Shor Rachmanah. That's Exeris HaKosov. The Torah says to here is permitted, before Chatzos is permitted, after Chatzos is prohibited. What does that have to do with us? V'idach Shaos Derabanan. So what would Rabbi Yehuda respond to that? That's a good argument. Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? Chazal added on an hour. Really, Chametz is only Osem in Deraisa after Chatzos and Erev Pesach. Chazal added instead an hour before Chatzos and Erev Pesach. So that's an hour derabbanan, and you see Chazal are splitting the one day in half and saying at this point it's mutar achilas chametz, at this point it's aser. Ve'idach, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who responds to Rabbi Yehuda, harchaka hu da'avid derabbanan l'dayraisa. They're just following the pattern of the Torah. The Torah split the day of Erev Pesach in half vis-a-vis the Isser. Chametz Chazal pushed the Isser an hour earlier to make a boundary. That doesn't mean though vis-a-vis the Isser of doing malacha on Erev Pesach, that we have a license to now all of a sudden split a day in half and say that the day itself has two identities or a split identity, right? It's schizophrenic. In the morning it's this, in the afternoon it's that. That's just too complicated. If the Torah does it, the Torah does it. But we shouldn't be engaged in that, splitting a day in half. Splitting a night and a day, oh, that's kuli amalo pligi. That we have a large precedent for. From where? From a tainus tzibur. Okay, Chaver, that's the Gemara. The Gemara first had a debate. Can you split one day in half? That was the debate between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to the Isser of Malacha and Pesach. However, with regards to splitting a night from a day and saying one halacha applies during the day, a different halacha the night before, even though it's all one day, that we do find the precedent for it by a tiny tzibur. So the same thing should be true with regards to Erev Pesach and the Isser Malacha. The problem is over here, is that how can we compare a Tainus Tzibur to Erev Pesach? If I were to ask you, Chevra, when does Erev Pesach begin? the morning of the 14th or the night of the 14th. What day is Erev Pesach? Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach probably, unless you disagree with me, should be the night of the 14th. It's also Erev Pesach, right? That's when we do Bedikas Chametz, is Erev Pesach. It's already Erev Pesach. If your mother's going to yell at you, you're eating Chametz, Erev Pesach in my kitchen, you know, it's already Erev Pesach. Everyone agrees Erev Pesach. If I were to ask you, when is the Tainus? Is the Tainus the night before, or is the Tainus only the day of? Is the Tainus only the day of? When is the Tainus? Is the Tainus the night before, or is the Tainus the day of? So, I would have said the Tainus is only, right, in the morning. That's when the Tainus is. How then can the Gemara compare, the night before is not the Tainus, how can the Gemara compare and bring a proof from the fact that we split the Tainus, the day of the Tainus, in half? The night is Mutar B'Achila, in the morning it's Asur B'Achila, on Shavuos B'Tammuz, and on Asar B'Teves, and on Tzom Gedalia. At night is Mutar B'Achila, in the morning it's Asur B'Achila. So that's a precedent for Erev Pesach, that at night is Mutar B'Asiyas Malacha, and in the morning is Asur B'Asiyas Malacha, because Erev Pesach is a kind of quasi-yontif. How can you compare the two? It's apples to oranges. The Tainus doesn't begin until the morning. Erev Pesach begins already the night before. So therefore, Rebel Pavarsky is one of the current Rosh Yeshiva, Panovich Yeshiva. He's come to America almost every summer for the past few years. Now already he's an older man. I don't think he was able to come the last few years. Certainly this past year he doesn't come. Usually he comes every summer. I'm with him usually for one Shabbos or something in the country. He's there. He gets around. A very popular Magid Shir, and he has many Sfarim. He has Sfarim on Inyonim, or Shalos and Shuvis, called Bad Kodesh. And he has Svarim on Gemara called Shiurei HaGarbad, Rebaruch Doiv, Rebaruch Pavarsky. His father was Reb David Pavarsky, who was one of the former illustrious Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich together with Rav Shach. But Rebaruch Pavarsky is one of the current Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich. If you know the whole situation with Panovich, it's quite complicated. There's many different halves and different parts and different factions, unfortunately, very symbolic of the way yeshivas tend to resolve leadership problems. But either way, Baruch Pavarsky is one of the well-known Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So he has in his Ha'aretz over here, Masechet Pesachim, don't you see from here that a Tainus Tzibur also begins at night? It must begin at night. Otherwise, how could it be compared to Erev Pesach, which is clearly the night and the day as well? So from the fact that it's compared to Erev Pesach, must be the Tainus Tzibur begins the night before. It's just the Isser Achila doesn't kick in until the morning. But it's the day of the Tainus. It is Shavuos B'Tammuz. It is Asar B'Teves. It is, you know, Tzayim Gedalia. Not only the day on the calendar, but it is that day even the night before. Just the Isser Achila lags behind. Just like we find by Erev Pesach. And then the Gemara has a precedent. Well, if the day begins the night before, nonetheless, the Isser Achila doesn't kick in until the morning, why can Erev Pesach begin the night before and the Isser Malacha will only kick in until the morning? So from here, he brings a proof to the opinion of the Rif. The opinion of the Rif is, over here in Masechtas Tainus, Ois Aleph, on the sheet of Mar Mekoymes, that you're supposed to say Aneinu on a Tainus Sivor, not only by Mincha, which is what we do, or by Shachris, which is what a Shliach Tzibur typically does, but even by Ma'ariv, the night before, or the night, the night of a Tainus, you should also say Tfilas Aneinu in Shmona Esrei. And this might sound surprising to you, but the Mishnah Brura himself quotes this as the halacha. We don't do this, as the Rama already points out, but at least within the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, this seems to have been accepted. The Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Simen Tav Kuf Samach Hei Siv Gimel. Benji, I don't know what the meaning of the Sfaradish Kehilas is. In Ashkenazim, we follow over here the Ramah, but you'll have to fill us in if we're making a mistake, according to the Sfaradim. But the Shulchan Aruch here says, Yesh Oimrim, She'ein HaYachid Oimer Aneinu, Ki Im B'Mincha. There are those who say that an individual in his tefillah doesn't say Aneinu only at Mincha. Shema, why not? Maybe he'll get sick and he won't finish the Tainus. If he's going to say Aneinu in the morning, then it might be disingenuous, because he might come later on in the day to break his fast. He's going to turn out, because we say Aneinu b'yom tzayim taniseinu. If he ends up not fasting, it's not a yom tzayim taniseinu. Aval shliach tzibur oimroi. The shliach tzibur says it already in the morning. Gam b'tfilas shachris kum mishpal b'kol ram. She efshesh lo yis'anu k'sas me'akol. It's impossible. So no one's going to be fasting, come mincha. The Shulchan Aruch over there was discussing a Tainus Yachid, or a Tainus that one community accepted upon themselves. But if it's a Tainus that the whole community already accepted on an annual basis, Dahainu, the four Tainios of Asar B'Teves, Shavuos B'Tammuz, Sen Gedalia, Tainus Esther, Gam Hayachar Aimrei Bechal Tfiloisav. So too, the individual says it in Shacharis and in Mincha. But 1 minute, he said Bechal Tfiloisav. What's Bechal Tfiloisav? Says the Mishnah Berura. Afilu betfilas arvis. Shekhoidu matainis. De'etu matainis. Maskel mi ba'erev. You even say anenu already the night before, because that's when the tainis really begins. Wow. Wow. Benji, you ever heard of that? No. Me neither. But why not? Because there are more rights over here. V'nagu b'chol atzoymois. No, we have the minig, not like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shaloi lo'aymer ki'im b'mincha. We have the minig to treat it like a tainis yochid or a tainis kahal, and you know the one community accepted upon themselves that you say aneinu and your tefillos yochid by mincha, because already now you're on cruise control to the end of the day. Hopefully, most people who break their fast do it a little bit earlier, except for the shliach tzibor who says it even by shachris, because some are from the tzibor will hopefully be fasting by the end. But otherwise, you don't say aneinu. We certainly don't say it by Marv. But that was the opinion of the Rif, and indeed it is quoted by the Mishnah Berura as the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. So it shouldn't be that foreign to us to even say aneinu the night before. How could you do that? Because it says the Beryl Povarsky, you see from here, that it's the tainus already exists the night before, and in fact, that's how it sounds. That's the implication, perhaps, of our Gemara. The Baal Amor disagrees. His opinion is, you do not say aneinu and marv, because it's not the tainus yet. Nimsa mikancha ain't ikar tfilas tainus, elobiyarim, the ikar tainus is only during the day, and therefore, you can't say aneinu certainly the night before. So the Baal Amor believes, not like the Rif, that in a tainus tzibur, when does the tainus begin? Not the night before, but actually in the morning. Rav Moshe, interestingly, turns this entire thing on his head, brings a raya from our Gemara to the Baal Amor, not to the Rif. He says, just the opposite, pumfaker. Why? He says like this, just the opposite of Beryl Povarsky. Rav Moshe says, 1 minute, how can our Gemara bring a precedent to the Issa Melach of Erev Pesach from a tainus? Says Rav Moshe, if the tainus begins at night, then we're really not splitting the day. We're really saying the tainus is the whole day. One little aspect of it only begins, only begins in the morning. But the tainus is really the whole day, right? That's why you can even say aneinu at night. So Rav Moshe brings a raya from our Gemara to the Baal Amor. Rav Moshe says from the fact that the Gemara calls, you know, that the Isra Achila of a tainus only begins in the morning, calls it splitting the day and the night, must be the night is not bechlal part of the tainus. And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying with regards to Erev Pesach, that the Issa Melacha should only begin in the morning because the night of Erev Pesach is not Erev Pesach. And that's why the Issa Melacha is not knowing the night before. So that's where the Gemara was asking, no, the night before Erev Pesach is not Erev Pesach. Where do we ever have such a precedent for that? To split a day itself and to say the night is not part of the halachic day, vis-a-vis the hanhagos, the actions that we take during the day, the night is not a part of that. Where do we find such a precedent? The Gemara says we find the precedent from a tainus. The night before a tainus is not the tainus. The tainus begins in the morning. And therefore, Rav Moshe was discussing the not-so-common scenario of arranging a wedding on the night before a tainus. You know, the calendar gets very short. Certainly, we could appreciate this during our times of the coronavirus that we're experiencing right now. People are lacking, good days to make a wedding. And there's a new thing. People don't like getting married on any day that their friend got married on, is getting married. Everyone wants to make sure everybody they know, from B.S. Oilam until today, is at their wedding. So they want to make sure no one else is getting married, in the entire week. That they're getting married. So people have to find days in the calendar to get married. So sometimes you have to scrape the bottom of the barrel. What about the night of a tainus? What about the night of Asar B'Tavis? The night before Asar B'Tavis. This year Asar B'Tavis is on a Friday. Rarely happens. Once every 20 years. I remember the last time. But I remember it well. But anyway, Asar B'Tavis rarely falls out on a Friday. This year is a Friday, so someone might want to get married the Thursday night before. Can you get married? Tzem Gedalia can happen. That would be getting married Matzah Rosh Hashanah. No one's getting married Matzah Rosh Hashanah. But the night before Asar B'Teves, you could get married. Can you do that? So Moshe was asked this shaila by Rabbi Menachem Palak. Rabbi Menachem Palak was another contemporary of his on the Lower East Side at the beginning of the turn of the century. And he asked him, Shnas Tavshin Yud, what year is that? That is 1950. Shechal Shavatzah B'Tamuz B'Yom Aleph. Shavas b'tamuz fell out on a Sunday. Miyesh lasas nisuim b'leil, Motzei Shabbos kodesh or lizayim b'tamuz. It used to be popular to get married on Motzei Shabbos. Can you get married on Motzei Shabbos the night before Shavas b'tamuz? Ve'shavdi shlo tzorech yesh lahat. It says in Moshe b'mokam atzorech you can. And he says it depends on this machlekes in the Rif and the Balamor. When does the tainus begin? Does the tainus begin the night before? Does the tainus only begin in the morning? Dochor tohu zeb machlekes harishonim. Do we say, you know, anenu the night before tainus? The labala mor taniyos daf yud aleph ein oimer mishum shatainus maskel bivabaker. He says, according to the labala mor, the tainus begins in the morning. According to the Rif, it begins the night before. So according to the Rif, you can't get married the night before. According to the labala mor, you can. So too, gam dine bein hamitzarim. Ramesha claims that the Dine Bein HaMitzarim, Shavas B'Tamuz, again, is the beginning of the 3 weeks. There's no marriage throughout the 3 weeks, so it's really a Shas HaChak. If you want to get married now, if you don't get married now, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to get married for 3 weeks. So it might be Kedai to be Mekon on Shavas, the night of Shavas B'Tamuz. So Gam Dine Bein HaMitzarim, Ein Maschilin, Elamei HaBoiker. Ramesha claims that the Nafkamina of this will be, when do the laws of the 3 weeks take effect? The night of Shavas B'Tamuz or the morning of Shavas B'Tamuz? Every year I get called from some woman who forgot to give her kids a haircut before the 3 weeks, and then she wakes up the night of Shavuot B'Tamuz. Ho, ho, ho! Can I give my haircut, kid a haircut tonight? No, you can't. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. Wake up, pay attention to the calendar. But either way, Ramesha claims it should depend on this machleka. So typically we are machmir. Typically we don't allow haircuts already after the Shkias HaChama and Shavuot B'Tamuz. But me'ikra din, it depends on this machleka. So Ramesha says, B'shas Adchak, he was willing to be Mekel to get married the night of Shavuot B'Tamuz. And he brings a raya to the Baal HaMor that the tainus only begins in the morning, and therefore the laws of mourning, of, you know, M-O-U-R, right? The laws of Avelus should not begin until the morning of Shavuot B'Tamuz, not the night. Why? From our Gemara. Reish Uriah Gedor Lidvarenu, Lidvara, Meresh Psochim. Domolaz, Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov, Lididi, he says, I split the day of Erev Pesach. There's only a Sias Malacha. It's only also during the day and not at night. And he found the president from that. From where? From a Tainus Tzibor. Tainus Tzibor. 1 minute says Ramesh, according to the Rift, the Tainus Tzibor exists at night. There's one little detail of eating that doesn't kick in until the morning, but there is the Tainus that Be'etzim exists at night. So Ramesh says, what Rai is that to Erev Pesach, where the whole day doesn't seem to begin until the morning? So Ramesh says, must be that a Tainus also doesn't begin until the morning, and it doesn't begin the night before. So that's why Ramesh was willing to be Mekel. He says, over here, we're only dealing with matters of Minhagim. Shavuot B'Tamuz is a Minhag, the Avegos that we are Noeg during that period of the time, of the year, not getting married. V'gam levadze b'minhag yesh lelech achar Mekel. That's what he says, 2 lines from the bottom. V'chein yesh lahatir l'tzarech u'ba'ofen zeh shachal Shavuot B'Tamuz b'yom aleph shudavashen u'matzoy. This rarely happens, so we can be Mekel. Interesting tshuva from Ramesha. They quote the name of the stipler as well in his biography, the Orchas Rabbeinu, that he paskin like this Ramesha too, b'shas harchak, to get married the night of a tightness. Now you say, what's the shas harchak? Get married another night. Okay, you're right. But if there is a shas harchak, one is certainly coronavirus shas harchak. People are searching for nights to get married, so it would be a reason to get married, or, you know, might be a reason to be soimich on the Baal HaMor. Typically, though, we don't do that. If you look in the Ramah writes Simon Tuf Kuf Nun Sif Gimel. He says if you have a couple that wants to get married on a Tainus, and the Tainus falls out in Erev Shabbos, what Tainus can fall out in Erev Shabbos? And it's a trivia question, only one. That's Asar B'Tavis. And it happens every 20 years. So Asar B'Tavis can fall out on Shabbos. Noigin this power mincha, velikros vayichal, you can get married, the chuppah will be by day. This, they used to do this. They used to get married on Friday and double up with the suda, save money. You have to pay for sudas nisuin and sudas Shabbos. The sudas Shabbos was the sudas nisuin, so they get a chuppah on Friday in the afternoon. This was on the minig 100 years ago in America, they used to do this. So you get married Friday, the sudas nisuin will be Friday night, and then that would be okay. You can arrange a chuppah during the day. However, the Bi'ur Halacha says that we shouldn't do this. Over here, Bi'ur Halacha Siman Tov Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Beis Ve'efshar Deyesh LaHachmir B'Shavuot B'Tamuz V'Asar B'Tevis K'mo Meresh Chodesh Ad HaTainus. Perhaps on these days, already the night before, you should be machmir like we would during the 3 weeks. Meaning, on every Tainus, there's reason to be machmir for all of the chumras, all of the minhagim that we have during the period of the 3 weeks. The same avelos that we have during the 3 weeks: no music, no marriage. All those things should be noig on every Tainus. Every Tainus is a little bit avelos. And that little bit of Avegah should be noig already the night before. That's what the Bi'ur Halacha quotes in the El Yerabah. Over there, Aleph Reish is the El Yerabah. I gave it to you over here. Oizayin, the El Yerabah, quotes in the name of the Shlach HaKadosh. that a person should be careful already, as a Baal Nefesh should be machmir from the night before a tainus. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik's opinion was, as quoted over here in the Nefesh HaRav, not like Rav Moshe. In the Nefesh HaRav, he quotes Rav Moshe, and the Rav Soloveitchik disagreed. He felt you really should not be lenient to get married the night before a tainus, where have a minig that all nihuge avelus, like the 3 weeks are noig on every tainus, and that applies already from the night before. But it's really a machlekes harishonim. It's a machlekes derif in the Balamar. Already now we see a machlekes contemporary poiskim. Can one get married the night before a tainus or the night of a tainus? When does the tainus begin? Does it begin at night? Does it begin in the morning? And perhaps each one marshals a source from our Gemara in its comparison to Erev Pesach. One could bring a raya from the fact that, Erev Pesach certainly seems to begin at night. Well, then how could we compare it to a tainus where the Issar Achilu is only during the day? Must be the tainus begins at night. Or maybe we could say, no, Erev Pesach, the whole thing is only during the day. Erev Pesach doesn't exist at night. So then, however you understood Erev Pesach, we're going to now bring a raya to how you're going to understand the tainus. Is it only during the day? Is it even at night? And it seems to be Machlekes Rishonim, Machlekes Hadapaskin. Erev, Tainus Esther, everyone agrees you could get married, it seems. Soloveitchik argued, Tainus Esther, there's no Nihuge Avelos. Because Tainus Esther is a Tainus of Simcha. We're reenacting what took place at the times of Megillas Purim. So it's not really a time of Avelos, of mourning. Even though they wore Sak Ve'efer, because they were scared, we know the end of the story, so we're not going to necessarily be Noyeg Nihuge Avelos. We're just going through the routine to kind of reenact the minhagim, the feeling, or to recreate the experience of salvation on Purim, so that's why we reenact Tainus Esther. But it's not really Nihuge Avegos, so that's why Sheriff Soloveitchik and others also have written this as well. Get married the night of Tainus Esther would be allowed. I don't know, I've never been to a wedding the night of Tainus Esther, but it seems like that would be a little bit more acceptable. Okay, Kabbat, there's one other of these proofs that I wanted to bring to your attention, or not even one of the proofs, one of the, the conclusion over here of the discussion. The conclusion of the discussion is, what does the word R mean? Does it mean night? Does it mean day? The Gemara seems to conclude from numerous sources that it means night. It clearly means night. The Gemara, and that's the conclusion of the Gemara, that you're supposed to do bidikas chametz at night. So then the Gemara asks, if it means at night, the Gemara here, right in the middle of Gimel Aleph, says, after all the proofs back and forth, and numerous conclusive proofs that R means night, the Gemara says, Elo bein Rav Huna bein Rav Yehuda, Kuliyama or tohu. Or means night. Velo pligi, and there's no machlokes. Marki asre. Each one was talking in the vernacular of their town, and they had different ways of speaking. So in one town, they used the word lele for night, and the other place they used the word nagi for night. So when Rav Huna said, what is R? R is nagi. He also meant night. He didn't say night, he said nagi. But everyone understood that R means night. There was no machlekes here between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Each one was speaking in the way that they spoke in that location. Marki asre. Rav Huna karu nagi. Rav Huna called night nagi. Uba asid Rav Yehuda karu lele. In the town of Rav Yehuda, they called night lele. But everyone was talking about the same thing. V'tana didon, okay, that's fine. But v'tana didon, my time alo katani lele. Why, just say the word which we all know, which is, the universal language of night, say lele. So Gemara says, no, lishna ma'al Yehudinaka. We wanted to speak in a more clean tone. We don't want to say anything negative, anything shlili. So we didn't say night. Night is very negative. Who wants to be negative? So v'tana didon, my time alo katani lele, lishna ma'al Yehudinaka. They wanted to use something positive about the night, or to phrase it in belosha nasagi nohar. So instead we said, R. And the Gemara brings from here a proof, because Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Dom Rabbi Shua ben Levi, L'olam ha-yotzi adam davar megunim mipiv, you should never say anything that is shilili, anything that is negative. And the Gemara brings a proof to this from the Torah with regards to Noach, that describes how all the animals entered into the Teva, and instead of saying min ha-behema ha-tahayra, or min ha-behema temeya, it says asher einena tahayra. So it says eight extra letters. Or another pasuk, yeah. And there will be a man who will not be tahar. Why doesn't it just say he's tamei? Again, it's coming to teach us this lesson that you should never say tamei, say einena tahar. That's better, even though it costs the Torah, nine extra letters. And we know how stingy the Torah is in all of its language. Here, this costs the Torah extra words in order to teach us this lesson that a person should always be careful. in order to teach us this lesson. As then the Gemara goes on to quote the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Gemara brings various proofs back and forth. But then the Gemara asks on Gimel Mid Beis, 1 minute, the Torah never says Tamei? The Torah says Tamei all the time in order to save words. So the Gemara says, you're right. But that's because you should always say things in the quickest fashion. So if it's going to be a nena tahira versus tame, we'd rather say tame. We want to, you know, be done with it. It's not a modern thing in the, you know, generation X that we have to get things over with quickly. Here it says over here, lo olam ishana adam utamido derech kitzari. You should be makatzer. What are you being marech if you could be makatzer? You know, the famous maisa, a guy, a rav, who was so proud of his drushas. So he gave a drusha once in shul for 2 hours. Whoa, what a drusha. So someone was in the audience who runs a radio program. I actually have a guy in my shul who runs a radio program. Zev Brenner davens with us. And he's always trying to get me on the radio about controversial topics so I can get myself in trouble. I say, Zev, I'll be on your program when it's not controversial. I need to be on so I get myself in trouble. So anyway, so there's a radio guy, a radio host in the shul. So radio host says, you know, Rabbi, that was some drusha, but I can't give you 2 hours on the radio program. Can you condense it into 20 minutes? So the rabbi says, he thinks, I think I could condense it into 20 minutes. So the guy says, well, if you can condense it into 20 minutes, why did it take you 2 hours the first time? So anyway, so if a person could condense something, why would you say it longer? So if it's all, what the Gemara meant to say is if it's all equal, you know, the same number of letters, the same number of times, say things more quickly. So Rashi and both Tosfos over there and Gimel Mabei say, but 1 minute, the Gemara said over here, even though it's going to cost more letters, more time, we said Einena Tahira instead of Tamei. So both Rashi and Tosfos, the top Tosfos on the daf, both explain on Gimel Mabei, what they meant to say is no. Once the Torah did this, even though it took more time to teach us the lesson of La'olam Ishana Adam, of La'olam Yidabar Adam B'Lashon Nekiyah, to speak clearly, cleanly, even though you could have said it a little bit more, coarsely, a little bit more harshly, in some other way, you should always say it in the nicer way. But as a general, that the Torah did that once, and it, you know, spent the time doing it, even though it took us more time in order to teach us that lesson, and even did it twice in order to teach us that there's really two aspects to this lesson. That's what both Rashi and Tosfos explain. However, and as a general policy, even if sometimes the language might not be ideal, a person should always be Mishana Adam Talmido Derech Kitzara. Brevity always takes precedence over saying something even B'Lashon Nekiyah. We'll say the word Tamei for the sake of brevity. Brevity is always appreciated. Yeah. But if it's the same, you know, it's going to take the same amount of time, so you should always say it. You should always say it in a clean way. Very nice message, right? So the whole first Mishnah of Pesachim, we had to spend the blot of Gemara discussing what does the word R mean. Everyone agrees, though, in the end, it means night. Why did we say this confusing word of R then? Because a person should always speak in a clean fashion. It's interesting, and this is an important yisod, right? The issue of nivol peh comes from here. You're not supposed to be menavel as piv, to say something that could possibly be interpreted in a negative and harsh and cynical fashion. Certainly, you know, the language that we have going around today would be a violation of that. Here we're talking about saying the word tamei, saying the word night. That's already objectionable enough. I mean, wow, this is, I don't know what's below G, but this is, I mean, that's where we are over here. That's okay, fine. Okay, it's an important insight, very important. Why is it found in Maseches Pesachim? Why here? The first daf of Pesachim. We have to spend a blot of Gemara all about this topic of the Adam Yishana Adam with Talmid of Derech Kitzara. Now, of Adam Yidabar Adam B'Lashon Nekiyah. We learned a lot of interesting things along the way, right? Fantastic things about intruders and about the night of the Tainus. But this, the whole blot is about speaking cleanly. Why is this found over here, Dafka Maseches Pesachim? You'll say, well, it has to be somewhere. Where else should it be? Maseches Temura? Well, it has to be somewhere. So if Tzadik writes in a few places, if Tzadik HaKoyin from Lublin, that if something is found in a Masechta, it is there for a reason. Dvarim Gedolim Einam B'Mikra. And it's something that happens in a certain way. It's not a coincidence. If we don't believe in coincidences, it's here for a reason. He says that's why the parsha of Matan Torah is discussed. Where? Anybody? Chaver? Anyone know where the parsha of Ayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar? Where is that found? What Masechta? Anybody know? Avrami, Baki Peshas. What Masechta discusses? Maimed Har Sinai? Masechta Shabbos. Yeah, Daf Peches. Why is it found in Masechta Shabbos? Because the Torah was given on Shabbos. Ah, very nice. That's what Tzadik says. Rav Tzadik says everything is found in the Gemara in a certain Masechta for a specific reason. Why is this here? Why is Yidabar Adam B'Lashon Nekiyah found at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim? So perhaps it's found in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim, because our Rabbi say, how did we end up in Mitzrayim in the first place? That we needed to be redeemed from Mitzrayim on Pesach. We ended up in Mitzrayim in the first place because the brothers couldn't get along, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Vayeshev, Yoveh Yosef as Dibo Samra al Avihem. Yosef had very negative things to say about his brothers, and he said it to his father. He was over on the Yisra of Lashon Hara. Now it was L'Tayeles, for whatever reason it was, but they couldn't speak nicely to one another. V'lo yachlu dabra l'shalom. They spoke negatively about Yosef. Yosef spoke negatively about them. So we ended up in Mitzrayim as a result of the fact that they couldn't speak nicely to each other. That's why Mechiras Yosef, we're not going to get into it now, we've discussed in the past, there are many allusions in the Leil HaSeder to Mechiras Yosef, the dipping. Vayidbos Kutainas Badam, the first dipping that we have in the Seder of the Karpas, many explain, is related. Rishonim already explained, is related to the fact that they dipped Yosef's coat into blood in order to fool Yaakov Avinu, the blood of the goat that Yaakov Avinu, in order to fool Yaakov Avinu that he was killed. Or the Chad Gadya, perhaps is a reference to Zaban Abba Bisrei Zuzeh, is a reference to the fact that Yaakov gave Yosef, a pasta that was worth 2 zuzim, and they deceived Yaakov Avinu by dipping his coat in the blood of a goat. There are many, many allusions throughout the Leil of the Seder to Mechiras Yosef. Why? Because how did we end up in Mitzrayim in the first place? Was a result of Mechiras Yosef. But what precipitated their animosity one to the other? Well, Yachlu Dabra L'Shalom V'Yaveh Yosef as Diba Samar Avihem. They couldn't speak nicely with one another. In fact, it says in the Zohar HaKodesh that the word Paroi, who was the leader of Mitzrayim, is a combination of two words of para. Paroi, who was the epitome or the model of what Mitzrayim represented, had a harsh and evil mouth. And in fact, therefore, how do we get redeemed from Mitzrayim? Adds the Ariel Kodesh, it's quoted in numerous places. We have the Yomtev of Pesach, which is also a combination of two words of Pesach. We have to use our peh to be sach, to speak about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, to cleanse our mouth. That's the whole night of the Pesach, is about cleansing our mouth and our method of speech. And that's why Kol HaMe'amar V'Lesaper HaRezeh Meshubach. Whoever speaks more and more about this, so he's rehabilitating his mouth even more and more. And the whole night of the Seder is about rehabilitating our speech. How did we end up getting redeemed from Mitzrayim? Of course, the Medrash we know says, B'Zchus Da'al Dvar, we got redeemed from Mitzrayim. The famous three ones are Shloshinu es Shemam, Mabusham, and Lashainam. They didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothing, and they didn't change their names. It happens to be those all three are never all found in the same Medrash anywhere. Everyone quotes it, it's never found in the same Medrash. Different Medrashim have different parts and pieces of that. But those are only three. The Medrash says they got redeemed from Mitzrayim, and there's close to four things. What was the fourth? So according to some Medrashim, the fourth was Gilei Arayus. According to other Midrashim, the fourth was Lashon Hara. They were careful about the way that they spoke. And because they were careful about the way that they spoke, so that's why we were able to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. Many say as well that that's what the word Karpas means. Yeah, what do you say?
About the way that they didn't speak Lashon Hara, the question on that is, what about the two people informing on Moshe?
Exactly. That's what caused us problems in Mitzrayim, was because they couldn't keep their mouths shut.
Oh, that's what...
Exactly. That's why we had to stay, that's why we were there. That was a symptom of the problem. So some people were careful about it, obviously, and those who were redeemed. Happens to be Dothan and Aviram made their way out, but Dothan and Aviram had other tzchusim too, we discussed another time. But many claim as well that the word Karpas is a Rashi Tevis of Klal Rishon Pesachim. Before we get started with the Seder, guy comes back from Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael with a binder like this. So we say, Klal Rishon, what's the first rule? Pesachim. Keep your mouth shut. And then Yachatz. What do? We say, whatever Divrei Torah you have over there, it's not talking about Divrei Torah, but whatever Narishkeit you have to say over there, cut it in half. And then Magid. Then you can begin speaking. But we don't want to hear everything you have to say. Take whatever you're about to say and cut it in half. Because we really have to cut down on our evil speech and begin to be Kol HaMa'ar B'Lesapa Reza Meshubach, to begin to use our mouths for proper speech. The Bluj of a Rebbe has in his Sefer Tzvila Tzadik something fantastic, fantastic, mamish. Once you hear it, you can't forget it. But he says there's five places in the mouth where speech comes from. There is the throat, the lips, the palate, the tongue, and the teeth. Different letters are formed in different places. Guttural sounds and, lip sounds and tongue sounds, but different sounds come from different places. But you have five places: the throat, the lips, the palate, that's the cha, the tongue, and the teeth. So he says, that's why, how many Lashonos of Geula do we have at the Leil HaSeder? We have the famous four ones, but there's a fifth one as well. We have Vaitseisi, Vitzaldi, Vigalti, Vilakachti, the four that we experienced at Mitzrayim, and then there's Vehevesi, Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us to Eretz Yisrael. That wasn't fulfilled until much later, at the end of their travels in the Midbar, when they finally came into Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, which was the fulfillment of the fifth Lashon of Geula. Five Lashonos of Geula. And how many expressions of redemption do we say at the end of Magid? So the brach at the end of Magid concludes with May Avdos Lecheros, Me Yagoin, Le Simcha, Me Eva Le Yomtov, Me Afel Le Argado, Umi Shibud Le Geula. We have five expressions of redemption there as well. Because why do we have five expressions of redemption? Why is that the number of expressions of redemption? Because it corresponds to the five places of the mouth where the sounds are formed. Why? What is it? Why is there all of this allusions to the, you know, to the illustrations of how speech is, you know, formulated and created? So the answer is because that's how we ended up in Mitzrayim in the first place. Was because Vayove Yosef is Diba Samar Olaviyev. So therefore, in light of all that, it's not that surprising that we find over here on the Gimel Amud Aleph that the Gemara tells us that the whole first Mishnah, Masechtas Pesachim, we went out of our way, jumped through hoops, more so than we do in any other Masechta in Shas, in order to be Koveya, to establish the principle of Va'olam Yisabra Adam B'loshon Nekiya, and that a person should never speak in any way that could possibly be interpreted in any kind of negative fashion, because we see from the story of Pesach and how we ended up there, the importance of speech, and therefore the Gemara is going to go out of its way, Dafkir Masechtas Pesachim, to explain that to us. Okay, Chavra, Mir Hashem, tomorrow we're going to go on with the story of Hahu Arma, the one Aramean, famous Maisa. But that's where we're going to begin. Okay, Chavra, Shkoyach, yeah?